the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all the laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion from any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever-expanding faith. In the practice of constant devotion. In the practice of inquiry through direct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born in karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of love and desire. There is no self and other. That is the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Well, this morning at 3 a.m., I got to see a very fascinating process of fear.
Of fear?
Yeah.
So conditioning came in at 3 a.m. with fear.
Actually, the opposite.
Uh-huh.
I was expecting conditioning to come in at 3 a.m. with fear, and the opposite happened. I was awakened to this intermittent breeze, because I wear earplugs at night. Because at home we have trains right next to our house, and so I don't hear anything. Plus there's a lot of bugs here. It's very interesting for me.
A lot of loud bugs?
Loud bugs. Mm-hmm. So cicadas or crickets or something. I don't know what they are. But so I wear earplugs, and I got this breeze, and I'm like, wow, that's nice. Because I can't hear anything, and then it comes quite regularly, this little breeze. And I'm like, wow, that's too regular to be a loony breeze. And then I go to this assumption, well, that's a bat outside my hermitage,
mm-hmm.
flying around. And every time it passes my screen, I get a little breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Very fascinating.
Okay. So some really interesting possibilities arose.
Interesting possibilities. I didn't think to take my earplugs out right away. So I put my hand up on the to feel this breeze on the outside of the screen. And the breeze is on the inside of the screen.
Mm.
So that also opens up a whole bunch of different possibilities. Which is the first thing is, let's get these earplugs out, because I'm curious what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the earplugs come out, and it's like, oh, there's a bat inside the hermitage.
Mm-hmm.
This is very interesting. And this is the place where normally conditioning comes in, and there's a couple subs. There's an early sub that I discovered a long time ago, who is constantly fear-based. And then there's another one who's absolutely afraid of critters, any type of bugs or small animals. And these are the two that would have, I think, normally gone crazy with a bat inside the hermitage.
Yeah, the one who gets frightened easily would have been frightened, and the one who's afraid of little critters would have been really afraid.
Right. So I turned the light on, and there it is confirmed. And I'm looking at it after and thinking, well, I didn't go to that place of panic of fear what I normally would have, because I was really present to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was just a fascination. Oh my God, there's a bat in my hermitage.
Mm-hmm.
And how amazing it can navigate how beautifully this hermitage without hitting a thing.
Knows where the walls are, just circles around.
Right, circles around. Maybe you've had that experience. So I'm like, okay, let's get kind of low, because it looked like the airspace was, he was kind of shoulder level. And I'm thinking, if I stand up, I'm probably going to maybe interrupt this critter. And again, just no fear, no panic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I crawl to the door, life just goes, well, you know, he probably needs an exit strategy. Because his little radar will pick that up eventually, maybe. So I crawl to the door. Again, no panic. It's just like, wow. And I open the door, and I crawl back to the center of the room, because that's the clearest space, because he's on the exterior of the hermitage. And I just sit there, and now the animal lover's there. Because I've sensed her right away. Because she's totally into this. It's like, wow, bad. Look at this thing. So it does about five circuits, and it's obviously, well, I'm projecting on the bat that it found some clearer space and out the door it went. And I just sat there in absolute awe, whereas even 6 months ago, I remember hearing little things that go bump in the night and absolutely go into terror and have just no presence or no ability to mentor the little ones.
And what do you feel made it possible to simply be there, get over to the door, open it, and then have the pleasure of watching? Sounds like a pleasure. Watching what the bat did next.
Well, practice, for sure. Just practice. And in the intensity of the last couple of months of practice and having a hermitage quite far away and having to go home at night in the dark, which hasn't been a common experience for me, I kind of just saw, it sort of preceded this experience, is that I could feel the one that's afraid of the dark, and I could feel conditioning come in, and I could feel the one afraid of critters when I start on the path here every night at dark. I kind of stop and go, oh, okay, I sense you. It's okay. And I start to mentor them. So I'm bringing presence to them, saying, it's okay, I'm here. We're not alone.
So you've been sort of practicing reassuring the parts of you who could have gotten all in dinner last night.
This morning. I didn't see that. But yeah, I've been practicing reassuring those little subs that are freaking. And then there's towards the three-quarter part of the hermitage that I call Tarantula Alley. There's a couple... resident tarantulas that my animal lover loves to get engaged with, but my little ones, my dark and my little critter one, does not have any interest in this. So I reassure them, say, okay, guys, it's all right, but the animal lover really wants to see this tarantula tonight. And if we creep up on it, we may have an opportunity, because they're pretty sensitive. And within 100 yards, if they sense or hear you, they're gone. And a couple nights, well, a lot of times we get a chance to see the couple. There's a black one and there's a gray one. And we observe these tarantulas, and they're massive. And I've never seen a tarantula in the wild, so that's a great experience. So that is interesting to just see that, too.
Inviting it, in a way.
Inviting it, and then knowing that the one that is totally, absolutely terrified of it doesn't have to participate.
Right, and has been reassured.
Yes.
As you leave the building.
That it's going to be okay.
And is being acknowledged.
Yeah, it's being acknowledged. So we do our little tarantula observation every night. A little zoo experience, outdoor experience, and then it just. I went back to bed, and it was just wow, kind of awestruck at just how this practice, and Sherry points at it, is just if you just show up, participate, just sit, face the wall, use the practice tools that. The transformation happens. The magic happens.
Yeah.
And then you have an experience of real life happening, a bat in your hermitage, which, ooh, well, that little one right there just went, ooh. That little critter person went, ooh, that's freaky. That could have been a whole different experience, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was absolutely like, it's okay.
Yeah.
And conditioning normally would come and say, oh, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Ooh, this shouldn't be happening. Why is... This is terrible.
Yes.
It would.
Yeah.
It would
danger, danger, danger.
Yeah, danger, danger. It would taint or color the experience in a very, for the little sobs, I think, cause suffering.
Yeah, and probably reinforce their fears.
There it is. There it is. Reinforce their fears. Yeah.
So it's so neat because so often, you know, I thought where you were going when you said I was woken up at 3 a.m. was what so often happens to so many of us.
Yes.
That's when conditioning comes in with its stories.
Exactly.
And instead, you got to have an experience of presence. Being available and just being with life as it was happening.
Yeah. And just, it wasn't even, the neatest part for me, I think, was it wasn't even a it didn't feel like a real conscious effort to know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, okay, let's just, before I knew it, I was crawling to the door and opening it. It just seemed the most helpful thing for the bat.
Because
this probably wasn't his natural environment.
Right.
And there isn't a way.
You hadn't met him before this.
No, we hadn't. We hadn't gotten together before this moment. And just to do that, and then just to, like, it's just, it didn't feel like I had made a conscious effort to do that. Like,
yeah, which the little people who were so frightened might have felt a need to do.
Yeah.
How are we going to get out of this? Get under the covers while we decide.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right.
But just having what to do, be just as available as the rest of the experience.
Right. Just available. Yeah. I really enjoyed that experience. It was really exciting.
Yeah.
Really exciting to see the not letting conditioning come in here, but I guess the benefits of practice. Mm-hmm. The benefits of practice.
Mm-hmm. And looking back and realizing something's shifted.
Something's shifted big.
Yeah.
Something's big has shifted in those subs that are very fearful and terrified of certain aspects of life without the reassurances.
Yeah.
And mentoring. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Jim.
This is what I wanted to talk about.
You can have two.
There's a little section in the new book called What to Practice When You Wake Up in the Night and Self-Hate is Trying to Kill You.
The new book? What to Practice When You Wake Up in the Night and Self-Hate is Trying to Kill You.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
So what I really wanted to talk about was the San Francisco Giants.
Oh.
Yeah. They and the San Diego Padres are in battle royal for the National League West, and I've been following along, as you might imagine. And I record the games so I can fast forward through boring parts.
Uh-huh.
And the commercials. Anyway, Sherry recently has talked about writing down questions or reminders for yourself that if you're working with an issue, or I don't think I'm putting words in her mouth, but the purpose of this piece of paper and these questions or these reminders. Mm-hmm. So carry around in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you're in a situation and the thing that the karmic predisposition that you happen to be working with comes up, you take out your piece of paper and you read what it is you wrote down previously as a way to help you perhaps make a different choice.
Yeah, and perhaps disidentify a little bit, because there it is, and that's what they look at. Yeah.
So I sat down in front of the game the other night to make my little list, and nothing. I had nothing. I wrote June's list or something, underlined it, and zip, nothing. So I said, well, all right, that's not unusual. So I put it aside, and I'm watching the game, and I found myself projecting onto the Giants, saying, what would a team do? How would they proceed? How would they be if they were going for a very specific goal and they really wanted to get there? And every day, every game was crucial to the attainment of that goal.
Mm-hmm.
How would they proceed?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was, every decision that they make from now until they either attain the goal or they don't would be toward everything they do, every moment-by-moment decision they make would be aimed at what is the best thing in this moment, what's the best choice in this moment to get me to that goal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Every single moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a few minutes later, I heard the projection. And so my list just kind of wrote itself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the sad part. I can't find my list. I looked at it once. And I got duped into not looking at it anymore. But I got it duped into probably just misplacing it. Mm-hmm. I never throw anything away. And so it's there somewhere. And so I'm in that usual centering process of talking about what's going on with me.
Yeah.
To get it outside of me.
Yeah.
So that there's at least a possibility that I'll go get the list and put it back in my pocket. At least let me get that part of it.
Yeah. And what would the manager of the Giants do if he'd lost that day's play?
Okay. All right. Yeah, guys. Stay focused. Yes.
They still got that same goal.
Yeah, we've got the same goal. There's, the day is not lost.
And every moment.
When a few looks at you. And every moment, just make that decision. It's going to take care of your body. Take care of you and your body, emotions, mind. That keeps you in order to play baseball, you have to be extremely quite present. Do those things that keep you present. Do those that I've been looking at also, it comes up very often about Sherry talking about people won't let themselves experience their inherent enlightenment if they don't feel worthy of it. So moment by moment, those things that make those choices that show you how worthy, that show you that, help me in that sentence.
Well, that are the evidence of your worth, of your inherent worth.
Yeah. And then a huge part of that practice is when those choices aren't made, is in that. Mm-hmm. As soon as you see that, as soon as I see that, just end it right there.
Yeah, because conditioning would like to have that be proof you aren't worthy. Yeah. We aren't worthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of, got me again. Okay. This is indeed a, what is the opponent? Worthy opponent.
As Suzuki Roshi said, no second thoughts.
Mm. Yeah, and that one, that's where I'm going. Every moment.
Yeah. Again, the image of the pilot piloting the plane. It's almost never directly at the destination.
Yeah.
It's a constant tacking.
Yeah, and being there to know when to do that.
Yeah. So that's my Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's a neat practice. Metaphor, an idea to reminding us that, where am I going? Okay. Mm-hmm. And is what I'm doing now going there? Is what I'm doing now going there? Mm-hmm. The world series of our lives.
Can you just repeat what the practice was, what you write, keep the list of?
It's a little unclear, but I think it's, and maybe you can help me out, there might be other people who were here for that discussion, but it's a karmic deal you've got, and writing down on a piece of paper what the things are that you know are part of that karmic deal, fold it up, carry it in your pocket, and when you sense it coming on, pull that out and look at it. And you can even, well, that's around here, enlist somebody to say, look, this is where I think I'm going, or this is what I think I'm stuck in. Other folks who were here for that conversation have anything to amend that with? Or is that?
Well, the first thing on my list was, will this choice get me closer to my goal?
Will this choice get me closer to my goal? Yeah.
So I think it's kind of multifunctional. Mm-hmm. You can, whatever is works for you.
It's to bring you back.
It seems to me like a multifunctional tool.
Yeah, one thing I remember too was that it could be sentences.
The leather man of practice.
A what?
The leather man of practice.
Leather man of practice. I don't know what it is. It could also be phrases that always go through when you're caught in it.
Yeah, it could be that.
Part of the list.
Leatherman, it's that little tool that has a knife and scissors. And
good. Good. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Pipe wrench and wood.
Yeah, bottle opener. So go ahead.
I just have to say this because part of that for me too was adding to facilitate back to the voice, facilitate my hearing. Because the one that came up for me is interesting, that it raised my hand is I have nothing to contribute.
That's what you'll hear.
That's what I'll hear. That's kind of my karmic thing.
Right.
And then for me, I wrote next to that, so... You say you have nothing to contribute.
Yes,
to
turning
the voice,
to the voice.
Turning
yes.
to the voice that
yeah.
says that to me.
Yeah.
And then, follow that up with shut up or thank you. Whatever.
Sending its projections, bouncing its projections back to it rather than taking them on as your own.
Yeah. And for me, just, turning that so you have nothing to contribute, turning that around, it just is a great disidentifying thing.
Yeah.
And it really does bring me back to where I'm headed.
Yeah, a little levity helps a whole lot, doesn't it?
A little levity helps a whole lot.
Yeah, it lightens everything up.
Yeah, because I can walk around in that. I have nothing to, everybody else is smarter than me, more brilliant, more, and I can walk around in that for way too long.
Yeah, and it is conditioning projecting.
And it is conditioning
projecting. Even though it sounds like me because it's saying I.
Right.
It's still self-hate in there.
Yeah.
Doing its best to take us in the opposite direction from that place we want to go.
Yeah, talk about having second thoughts. I mean, really keeps this person from being a contribution. Because she's always like,
When
she's caught in that, of having a second thought about,
should I?
And then when that was just being shared, it was just imagining the baseball player or the pitcher about to throw the ball, going, should I? And having all these second thoughts, and what a disaster that would be. The ball would just go, who knows where.
Yeah, and that seems like a nice place when we can to remember that question of, now, which choice is where I want to go?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it to believing that or just moving forward and throwing the pinch, as it were?
Which is something I might add to my list, to the top of the list, just to check in.
Yeah.
What's taking me to the place? Is this taking me to where I want to go?
Yeah.
I often hear, sometimes when people are sharing, and, I can just feel what's being said is the truth. It's like looking at a compass that's writing itself to true north.
Mm.
And it just feels like one of those statements that would be writing itself to true north.
Yes.
A
little spiritual compass.
A little spiritual compass to just take you know, keep me going in the direction. And it just, of course, it brings me back to the workshop yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And just Sherry did a workshop in Mountain View that a number of us had the great good fortune
great good
to
fortune.
Be at.
And I, you know, and just in that way, looking at what I want for the world, and then turning it around to see, you know, my projections of what I want for the world, and then how I'm living that for what I want, you know, change I want in the world, bringing it home,
yes,
and taking it to living it.
Yeah, you can't make it happen out there if it's not happening here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and look at how I abuse my resources.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and just, and how I just create unhappiness by constant distraction of egocentric karmic conditioning. And
yeah, know, and I would just be careful in that phrasing because it is, you got it.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
It's what conditioning is doing. It's what conditioning does to every single one of us.
Yeah, it is what conditioning does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I'm not setting myself back to true north and it just being...
Yeah, it'll try and keep you distracted from that project. Yeah, yeah. Keep you heading south.
Keep me
which
no
eventually gets
all.
To north, if
yes.
people will.
That's too much noodling for me. So, yeah, there was something else, but I'll raise my hands and share again if it comes back. Okay. Thank you.
What else? Rich.
As usual, I was doing a little sitting before we started, and conditioning just seems to serve up the same platter over
isn't
and
it?
Over. It's
yes.
not a
It's old. It's used. It's moldy.
Yeah. The story du jour doesn't change very much. I mean, it may change a little bit, but the process is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm paying attention, you know, it can even be laughed at or...
Mm-hmm. You can catch it.
Can catch it. But if I'm not, it's... had this Thai teacher that used to say the food that Westerners eat for the most part is bait. He's called it bait because it looks so nice. It's appetizing. It may even taste good. But ultimately, it's not nutritious and it's not satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And the mental diet is... as far as what conditioning offers is bait, as far as I can see. And quite often, if I don't pay attention, it's soup to nuts, you know? I mean, the appetizer's down, the main course is nice and juicy, the appetizer's too much, you know? It's all too much, and then the heartburn comes, and that's the self-hate, you know? And but if I am paying attention, it's... it's a different world.
Yeah.
And to actually see reality.
And that's actually literally true. Isn't
yes.
It's the world up here. It's all made up. Or it's the world that doesn't have to have all of that. Doesn't benefit at all from all of that.
And as far as I can tell, it's still, you know, it's always doing its thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love the sports analogy because, you know, so I watch sports also and it's a good outlet for me. And watching, you know, especially baseball after a game, you know, there's 162 games. So the manager after every game, a victory, a loss, sometimes I listen to what he has to say. And centered is the word that describes his demeanor.
Is what you can project on.
Is what I can project on. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem very highly emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And whether the game is, you know, because to take one game to bring that into the next game is not appropriate. It's not helpful to the team. It's not helpful to the goal of winning. And he was a catcher when he played. So a catcher has to call every signal pitch. Mm-hmm. So you have to pay attention all the time. What this batter did the last time up, what he did in this count. Mm-hmm. Is he a good and they have scouting reports, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they place the defenders. It's very intricate and it's very, you really have to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Every single pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants have that kind of a team where every single pitch, it's 1-0, 2-1, you know. Every single pitch is critical. And it's very much like practice because you have to pay attention
to every single pitch is critical.
Every single pitch. And can't get caught up in, oh boy, remember last night we lost a heartbreaker and boy, wasn't that, oh my God. And it's gonna, and that's why to be centered, to be present in life is so important because, you know, the stories will come and go, the data or the content will come and go. And
slip into reviews by mistake.
Oh, yeah. It's either, wow, that was great, or, oh, God, how could that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not present to what's happening right here, right now, it's all projection, and it takes me out of my life, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I was just serving some things up right before we started.
Uh-huh. So that pre-meditation meditation had some...
Yeah, and it's so important to just be present wherever I am, not just sitting on a cushion. Obviously, that's our practice, why we open our eyes and not go to other practices that are more esoteric in a sense and concentrative. But just to be present with everything,
mm-hmm.
and to
everything
see everything
as it is in this moment.
Yeah, and every moment is a practice opportunity, and conditioning is always serving something.
Yeah, and it's going to put a little bit of different stuff in the menu just to make us think
spice
it's really
every now
going
and then
to wind up
change.
In a different place. But keep it rolling; it's handy.
Mm-hmm. And the practice is just so I'm really so appreciative. And thankful for this practice because, as far as I can tell, I've taken a vow not to say anything about other. As far as I can tell, this is a unique practice in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at myself in relationships.
Yourself in relationships.
Mm-hmm. And. I realize over the years of my life, as I have different kinds of relationships and they end, or they transition to something different from what they are at one point, I'll say, like, these different phrases will go through my mind. Mm-hmm. Of like, it's a relief that that's, you know, that that relationship is over. Or
I was done with that kind of thing.
I was done with that isn't one of the phrases that I've heard go through.
It's a relief.
It's a relief where I feel set free by not being in that relationship or more like that, more than I was done. But maybe I was done. And then this week I realized that the common denominator in every relationship was me.
That can be kind of startling, huh?
I call it crisis. More than startling. So startling is a crisis.
Okay.
Yeah. And that, what I was actually set free from, and a relief from, and that's why it's not done because it's just is that part of myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it actually has nothing to do with the other person.
Yes.
It's a part of me who shows up in context.
Yes.
In that context.
And is your sense that with each relationship that has transitioned or ended, that that same aspect goes to what a relief?
No, the part of me who's not then having to be that person that I am in relationship is relieved that I don't have to interact, be that person, because it's freaking exhausting being that person.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I don't want to be that person.
Got it.
But appear to have no choice, because I keep being that. I've kept being that person.
Yeah.
So the relief and the being, it's not set free from the other person or it's actually set free from that part of myself.
Yes.
Yeah. Relief not to interact with that part of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to interact with that person. Why would anyone else?
And it sounds like a really huge awareness.
Yes, it's made me realize that I am truly a student of Zen. in case I have wondered.
Yeah. That you saw this, you are seeing it, it sounds like.
Yeah, that there actually is no one else. They're all just...
Yeah.
It's like that quote, that we're all... Like, we are here to serve the others. What the others are here for, I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah.
But they're here... Clearly, I know what they're here for. They're here to help me see that it's not actually... They're just here to help me see.
That it is all you.
Yeah, it is all me.
Yeah. And so where are you with it now?
In this moment, I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. I think... there's a hint of fear that I'll become identified with that person that I become and not know it and believe it.
Which is, of course, a possibility, given...
Yeah, but not if I just stay by myself. It's trickier if I'm just alone and I up my chances. I'm just in a room all by myself.
Yes.
Well, that can be my floor. I think there's that, and but mostly, more gratitude.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, because it sounds, and I don't know if this is so for you, but it sounds like up until now, the relationships have run that karmic path, and you just become whoever you become in relationship, and then when it's over, you get to let go of that and not have to be that anymore.
Right, but I always believed until now it had to do with the other person.
Right.
And you know I'm a twin, and you knew that, but so it's a twin thing, because my twin, we were just talking about relationships, and... You know, she split up from her husband a long time, and she said she can't see that it's her. She cannot see. She believes it's him. Well, he's boring. I said, yes, you said that when you were dating.
Back to you. No, I was a snake when you took me in.
but she cannot look at that. She chose to marry someone who was boring, and so she's boring. You know.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I can't not see that. So.
Yeah. Well, and so you've got a sort of a booster mirror.
Oh yes, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Like everything. Yeah, it's a plus and a minus, but mostly a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly definitely a plus, because I can see. It's helpful, you know. I get a double mirror.
Well, now if I'm seeing that in her, yeah.
Well, right, because I'm so busy practicing taking it back to me.
Yes, exactly.
So busy practicing taking it back to me.
Being the student of Zen.
Right.
Yeah.
She's not quite as busy practicing that just yet. You know, she's young too. She might get too much.
Yeah, well, as you model, sooner or later, it might, who knows.
So I think I'm mostly, I don't even know if grateful is the word, like it's like feels like a really, like poignant and grateful.
Yeah.
And I just keep being appreciative of a bunch of the choices of my life, of which I'm living here and being part of, and having the support of the practice is part of that.
Yeah. Everyone suspects there's assistance for that goal, even though we don't know it's there. It's just moving us in that direction.
Yeah. And the other thing that I see about this is, you know, when I'm that person that I don't even know what to call it, like, you know, there are people who are so good at talking about their subpersonalities, and I'm not good at it, but that subpersonality takes over. And I feel like it takes over and takes up so much of the psychic energy of my life that I'm not effective in my life in a way that I want to be. And because it's so, it feels like messy because so much energy is taken up with with now I know being this subpersonality.
Right.
This conditioned
right.
way of being.
Yeah.
And it's been really a treat in the last week or so since I've seen this, when I'm not sobbing at the shock of it all, I feel able to be really present with whatever is in front of me. And even things that have historically been really hard, like, you know, writing. So this morning I just got up and wrote for a couple hours. And I wrote this whole thing. I mean, I worked on this whole thing, and this voice said, oh, you know, it's not done. I'm like, not done. The fact that I just wrote 3 pages on this whole thing, I didn't know I could write, is huge. I stood up and went like, you know, that. And it feels like there's really a relationship between the my life force getting taken up with, you know, that whole conditioned giant subpersonality which takes over all of me. And then knowing that that's there and choosing to be the person who I really am, which is intelligent and present and funny and, you know, all
capable
these things.
One.
Capable
yeah.
and...
Yeah.
So, that's right.
Yes. Yeah. Sounds huge.
I would say it's rather huge.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've been looking at offering these parts of myself tea, you know, that way of saying, oh, hello, there you are again. And I can relate because I feel in a similar place, although I've stayed with two things. I mean, I get identified and say, oh, forget it, it's over, and I quit jobs, and I quit relationships, and girl, you know, any kind of relationship. But I get identified, and I think it's them. Well, you know, they just don't accept me as who I am. Of course, I'm not accepting them as who they are, but, you know, I do whatever my own personalities say to me that convince me to. But, you know, I've just celebrated 18 years of practicing, staying with this. And believe me, you know, over the amount of time, there have been numerous occasions. I could even believe Sherry, you know, was, you know, she's got mental problems. You know, she what did she say? She thought her teacher was senile. And so I could think she's just, you know, she's not, she's a little off or whatever throughout the years. And but as I've stayed, what I've been looking at with my kids and in my marriage, because, you know, with kids, as far as I can tell, my ego could talk me out of leaving everything but that.
Right.
It could talk me out of leaving the monastery. It hasn't yet. It's tried its best. It could talk me out of leaving a marriage. It hasn't yet. It's tried its best. But it can't talk me out of leaving kids.
Yeah.
And so it's been really helpful. And a marriage is pretty hard because, you know, I'm religious. I'm a conditioned religious side.
Yeah.
And so my alternative is to do what was being described, which is to really get it at some level that it really isn't about them and that there is a way out.
Yeah.
And
it really isn't about the kids. It isn't
yes.
about the husband. It isn't about the monastery.
Yes. And so what I noticed I actually did at first was then I went to self-hatred again. So I went to beating myself up. Well, God, you know, I get identified, and I hate that I get identified, and I'm sick of getting identified, and I really don't like that part who does that, and I don't like getting identified with that part, because what she does is get angry at her kids. I like getting angry at my kids.
And all that's conditioning. You
all this is conditioning, I'm describing what I've seen. So
you're
coming out of it. And I could see that, you know, the decision to do it perfectly again was made. And, you know, okay, well, if I don't want to get mad at my kids, or I don't want to be say something unfortunate, then decision to be perfect. You know, and then boom, 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 boom.
Until you scream at your kids even louder than that.
Scream at my kids louder than that. And I'm hating myself, and I'm wishing it was different. And, you know, then wishing they were different. You know, getting caught into it, and then the whole belief system is born again. And so I saw that. Mm-hmm. And I saw that what in conditioning's world, it's either me, something wrong with me, or something wrong with them.
Right. Bottom line.
Bottom line. It's going to take me in either place. So if mm-hmm. I have an insight, it's going to use that against me. So the insight is, wow, it's really not about him or them mm-hmm. or monastery. You know, it's really about staying and practicing. Yeah, I really mm-hmm. liked the image of watching the bat because, you know, it's such a similar process when I lived here for myself.
Walking, with the bats.
With the bats, with everything. Same, you know, every little sound. And then finally, all right.
Yeah.
You know, kill me. I'm done. Kill me. I'm walking to my hermitage. And then it got quiet for a while.
Yeah.
And it's, but it didn't have to beat me up. You know, at first it was like, give me a break, Susan. You know, you walk into your, I mean, nobody else is afraid. But, so, anyway, it's just been helpful to see it arise. Well, I heard this thing mm-hmm. the other day. And what the thing I heard was, when we choose drama, so egocentricity, whatever it is, we're choosing a step away from love mm-hmm. or compassion.
Mm.
And so now, mm-hmm. when I feel that sensation in my body, I think, move to compassion. You know, move my attention right here into those sensations mm-hmm. and compassion for the part of me who is identified believing this.
Yeah, what's the sensation in your body?
The sensation in my body is tight. Well, this is, you know, so familiar. It's been since mm-hmm. I came here. Tight in the back of my neck, going up the back of my neck, and, you know, fifth chakra, kind of back of the neck, upper, and maybe some right here in my head. But mainly here, it feels like something grabs me and says, you must be conditioned.
Wow.
You must have this response. This is what is real. And what I always thought was I should fight against that.
Yes.
But ever since, Dave used that image of the wrestlers the other week, I have become the other side, not the person who's wrestling. So my image is, okay, I'm going to pretend I'm flattened by this thing and get really curious about it.
Wow. Mm.
What is it that is pushing me? How does it do that? What is the quality of the sensation in the back?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is what is it that tells me that there's no way out? Because it gets me to believe, even after this much practice, it has me believing a lot. It says things to me like, well, if you can't do it after 18 years. It gets me, it just takes me to the conclusion.
Why don't you give up?
Give up, and why try, and help others do it? Why believe anybody can? Because, you know, you're really an insightful person, and you haven't been able to do it.
And it...
Forget it!
What's
that I'm doing it?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
The it is, like, feeling how it says I should as a result of practice. Uh-huh. So what it says is I should feel a certain way.
Right.
Free, peaceful, whatever.
Right. And it's not going to remind you when it's got you of the times that you have felt.
Well, and it's not going to remind me that that's just a part of it. That's a part of the freedom. That's a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bats come into the hermitage, so to speak. Conditioning comes in.
Yes.
It's our relationship to it.
Yes.
You know, it's not that I'm not going to fall into the place of believing I should leave my marriage or my kids or the monastery again.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the point. That's what it thinks the point is.
Right, and you're not supposed to do that.
No.
And what you're saying is, it's the bat.
It's the bat. Mm-hmm. There are bats alive in the world. Mm-hmm. They're not good or bad. It's how I relate with them.
Yeah.
So somebody comes in and believes the only way to freedom is to leave this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there she is again. How does it feel in my body?
Yeah.
And what I've noticed when it's like the itch. It's like sitting. It's why it's so helpful. Is for me, it becomes intolerable in my body for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I need to leave. You know, I need, in my case, I need to say something.
Uh-huh.
I need to get this 3.5-year-old to say, you know, sit still in church or whatever. I need to have some kind of, not just sit, because when I sit, I use that what Michael said a few months ago, I think, and what we've heard a lot, but it becomes like the weather. It really does pass.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm in it, there is a part of me who does not believe, who doesn't remember it's going to pass.
Yeah. And this is doing to you exactly what you're wanting to do then.
Exactly. And that's what I notice happens. That it either does it to me or it does it to them.
Got it.
And, you know, it either is doing it to me and so I'm beating myself up, believing it, or I'm, stop it.
Yeah.
And so if I can just sit down and say, wow, there you are again.
Yeah.
Look at that. I like that. image of the bat, because I have so much, there's parts of me who don't like the bat.
Yeah.
We're scared of the bat, get the bat out of my hermitage, cover up, pretend to sit up there, whatever, you know. And the thing I really loved about that image of the bat was, I had heard enough at the monastery open the door. And so I had my whole bat plan if one came, you know. It was not be in the moment bat plan, by the way. Yeah, it was a what to do if a bat enters a hermitage plan from here, from the conditioned response. And it was so neat that the conclusion when staying in the moment was open the door.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's why Sangha is so helpful, because it makes me, that is so poignant to me, even though it seems small. If I stay in the moment, I'm going to see the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to see the next thing.
Yeah.
What my head tells me is get into the moment, and then you'll be able to, I mean, don't get into the moment.
Right.
Look for the bat plan. Don't just
be prepared.
Don't just be curious. Don't just be fascinated and then see, oh, wow, it doesn't want to be in here either. It doesn't have a way out. You know, that's what the potential is for us in daily life.
Yeah. Yeah. See, where is the door to open?
Where is the door for me personally, for that conditioning? Where's the door? Where's the door? How can I let this thing out? Is that helpful for it to be in here? You know, and get really curious rather than get it out of here.
Right. Get me out of here, or get them out of here.
Or get it out of here.
Get it out of here.
You know, get that. Make it stop. Not get curious about it. Look at it.
Yeah.
Give it a little compassion. See if it's thirsty. Well, I find that if it's conditioning, if I offer it that kind of compassion, it gets really mad and it leaves. If it's a subpersonality, it actually takes the sip of tea and comes into my compassion. Either way, compassion seems the answer. Rather than
turning. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Seems like it. Right now, you know, it kind of always changes. That's why it's really important to be in the moment.
Yeah.
It seems like that's what's being needed right now. And it's...
And if compassion isn't available, acceptance will do.
Yeah, and I've been looking at a lot of trust. Trust that which is bigger than my ego, you know, I call it God, whatever, that which is bigger than this conditioned head is there to do it when I can't see it.
Yeah, and that everything we're going through is part of all of that.
Yeah, I think so. And I so didn't think that before. I thought I would come, I would practice, I would see how to get away from that.
Yeah.
And be united with God.
And be right forever.
Be right forever, right and free. All those words that we think it's going to look like, actually.
Yeah.
Right and free. And I would even use spiritual, you know, at one with, union with God. But I had an idea of what that was going to look like.
Yes.
I had the bat plan, so to speak.
Yeah.
Here's what it will look like.
And if it doesn't look like that.
And if it doesn't look like that.
They're wrong or I'm wrong.
Yeah, which is why the, you know, sitting still. Reading that over and over is so important, because she says this is it.
Yes.
It's all it. It's all God, so to speak.
Yep.
And
this moment is the only one we've got.
Yeah, including the aspects of the personality that we don't particularly like when they take over.
Yeah, because the one who doesn't like them.
Right.
Is one of them.
It's one of them, and it's who's holding them there. I like the image Sherry says. She made that deal with herself. Cheryl.
Yeah.
If I'm not there, you don't get beaten up for doing it.
Yeah,
and I think it's the same for all the parts that come in.
Yeah, the same for the one who
lets
loose at the kids.
Right, because if I'm not there, but if I'm there, it's less likely that it will be a conditioned response. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to.
And if it's a conditioned response, the person who has it will be accepted by the one
who's. That's the potential. And then these little people, when they grow up, they'll know how to do that. Because we are conditioned beings. So we are.
Yeah. They've got to have their fun.
Thank you.
Got a bit of time left. It's a quiet.
I should remember the one thing that was coming up for me. And it had to do with gratitude.
With gratitude.
And just, you know, what's been shared this morning. And I think when I first came to practice at the monastery, I remember Sherry saying, this is the most luxurious life a person could lead. And I thought, what do you mean? An upgrade for my bathroom is buying a new bucket, you know? I really get it. right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to have this opportunity to practice, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody that won this most incredible lottery, and I don't know how that happened. But it is an incredible, it does feel like an incredible luxury, and I'm really grateful.
Yeah, and it's all for us.
It's all
it's
for
really,
us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, and it's just, there's somebody that just every night when she, before she goes to sleep, she does, this is one practice that she just has stuck with, is just writing down things that she's
the
grateful
gratitude.
For, her
gratitude.
Yeah. And I appreciate the person that does that. And it just,
is she on your list?
No, I have to give her audit. Thank you. You know, it does come up that just that I'm doing that, but just to really acknowledge that the person that is doing that, thank her for doing that and for just sticking with it. And so.
Yeah, making it happen in a way.
And making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's
very nice. Thank you. Anything else?
I think I'll talk about what's happening right now, which is the process about sharing a group.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so it's
a really good thing to talk about when it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, let's see, what is it? Well, there's the, I should participate.
I should participate.
I should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of this sort of command coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a whole bunch of other stuff about how just I have to. Well, I think what a large part of it is comparing myself, a comparison that happens. And I should have something wise to say, especially if I'm the last person to speak.
Uh-huh. And there's somebody in there who's assessing wisdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. What else there is?
So you should share. And you should have something wise to say, somehow, especially if it's towards the end of group.
Yep. And
which kind of cranks up the heat on it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it's probably, well, I said probably mostly self-hate in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really not a fun place.
It doesn't sound it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I won't even share everything. I won't share all of it. Because in a way, it's like, well, it's just all these things that I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That aren't well, if I say them, then people will know that I believe them, and I don't want for people to know that I believe these things.
Oh, interesting. Because in the moment you're not believing them, in a way.
In the moment I
that you're speaking, So there are all these, and is it about sharing still? There are a number of things that you're not saying because you believe them.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that you believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to say them, then everybody would know that you believe them.
Yeah. And I guess they judge me.
And they judge you, which is interesting.
And reject me.
And reject you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Judge you and reject you. And can you sense that that's what's going on in you?
Internally.
That you're being judged for having beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're being rejected. You're not being allowed to be seen.
As in, what will you say more about that, not being allowed to be seen?
Because you can't say them, because then people will know you believe them and people will judge you for believing them. So you're right back at ground zero. You cannot express what's going on for you.
Right.
Because of all the things that conditioning has got you believing.
Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Internally.
And what's your experience as you say it? As you say what you've said?
Well, it's actually there are a couple of things. One is a little bit of seeing how ridiculous it is.
Mm.
Just how ridiculous the whole thing is.
So stepping back from it a little bit, sounds like.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. seeing that it's a kind of just a way I suffer, and any way I suffer there's a scam being run.
Yeah.
And as soon as I see through the scam, I see how ridiculous it is. So there's this possibility of seeing through that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the other thing is, it is interesting how there's, maybe this is stepping back into it. It's interesting how there's a way of sharing the thing that I don't want people to know about, and it is liberating.
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't always seem like a possibility to do that. So it seems like what's the expression? The razor's edge,
mm-hmm.
in a way, because, yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, so just having experienced that possibility, and that is liberating, and maybe that's part of what there's a standard that I should do that, and not something else, so that it's just I'm embarrassing myself and bringing the group down and like that.
And are you being able to see this as you're speaking? As a process that you're caught in?
In other words, I have stepped back.
Maybe one foot.
Because
you're describing it. You're describing what happens.
Yeah.
So even though you may not be sharing content, you are sharing the process that you go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is that I'm told that I'm going to be a downer if I share certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and right. that
it's embarrassing that people will judge me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be judged mm-hmm. and rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sort of maybe above that is there are standards that are attempting to, and sometimes they're successful, to allow you or not allow you to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I could just see, I think I saw for just a second
yeah.
there, but because that's not what it seems like. It seems like there are certain things that I should share and certain things I shouldn't share.
Yes. Yes.
And but it makes sense that so then there's certain times I can share and certain times I can't share.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of those, I think Sherry was talking about it again yesterday, one of those possibilities of heading for exactly the one it tells us not to go for, just to see what happens.
One of those possibilities is to do that. Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing to lose, like she says
in the
fear book. I'll learn something by doing it.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to lose.
Yep. Yeah. We're just wanting to see it all.
Yeah.